you don't mind.
I had my stepdaughter with me, and she said, we were looking at it, and I said, Heather, do you want to buy this and walk behind the lawnmower again next year? She agreed to
walk behind the lawnmower.
I'm not real, you know, I'm learning. It's a complicated piece of equipment, so I'm learning how to do it. That's why last week we just played with it. So I set up the monitor in the trunk of my car, and at the school when we were having elections, and got conversations with people talking, and I thought it was kind of historical, the election bit. And we did some interviews, and we found out how difficult it was, you know. And in thinking about it, I thought, well, geez, I guess it is difficult. They pay Johnny Carson $3 million a year to do this stuff. Because we get in the middle of a conversation, and there's like a lull, and you don't know how to pull it out, and Uncle Moses, that was difficult. I just threw my hands, well, thank you. I don't know, because he wasn't, he would answer questions I directed him, but he wouldn't expound. So we found that we don't have, Ray's son who's doing it some with me, we just don't have the interviewing skills. It's not anything we've done before.
Well, he probably got shy, too, because it was a camera. Does it have voice as well as visual?
Also dates it.
Dates it, that's wonderful.
Every now and then, when we were doing this, I ran out of film, I would flash the date.
Uh-huh.
And it also, I didn't know whether I would be imposing to do this, so I didn't bring the AC adapter, so the battery runs for about an hour and a half, so you can do it outside and inside.
Mm-hmm.
I just wasn't equipped. But Mrs. Hill, we feel that she taught three generations of us, you know. And
46 years span.
And we just feel that we need to do something. There's sort of an urgency here because there's just a lot of history. And it ties in so closely with what we're doing now with the school building.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is real, real important stuff here.
Well, I think you need to ask the most obvious question first, which is have her give you something about her background, where she came from, and get her to talk a little bit about her childhood. You'll see why I asked that question later. And then find out where she went to school and where she got her education. And as I remember, you said she came to that school from another school.
No, I don't know. She might have been her first time. And she left there, and she came back, and left, and she came back. I think she was there three different times.
Jeremy, still going to have to kick everybody out, huh?
What would be interesting to know is how she got there. What we found is that in a lot of these Eastern Indian communities, there were some New England schools some churches that really started worrying about education of Eastern Indians. And they would really send these folks in for their mission society. So it would be interesting to find out if she got to your community.
How she got it all.
How she got to the community as a teacher.
How she got involved in our community.
This
was through the school board.
So you don't think there was a church?
No, it's possible, but she came to the school board because we had another teacher prior to her who wasn't accredited, from what I understand, it was late, the former Kelly.
I always had questions of why Sharon Indian School, whether it had any connections with the Sharon Indian Church.
That's a possibility.
Sharon Baptist Church, which was a non-Indian church, which is 2 miles away.
Yeah.
I thought that the school was going to be restored to me. That was the last time you talked to me.
It's been 2 years. It's been awarded, but we just haven't gotten a deed yet.
I see.
Okay. In other words, how to find out if there was a connection, how the state had got her here or from one of those missionaries. Just because that's a pattern that we saw with Eastern groups all over.
She was treated by outside of the Indian community.
Now you need to ask her what she taught. Get her to walk you through the curriculum. Because what, did you have 6 grades?
7. In 1 room.
Yeah. In 1 room.
And then there was one through 9 or 10.
That was later. That started in 52. Up until 1952 was 7th grade. After that was 11th grade.
We I had several of her students on tape last week that were telling some of her various teaching techniques. She had words written on fish with magnets in the water, and you had a fish on the magnet.
Fishing technique.
You fished out. You fished out a fish and caught a fish, and that was your word to learn. In fact, Ronnie, she was your teacher.
And materials, you take materials, like for instance, they were hand-me-down books from the other schools, and they didn't have enough, and they wouldn't be supplied any new ones. My mother told me that they had to read the book forward, and then
backward. Now, see, that's the type of thing you want to report. I would also suggest that you ask her, or you ask other people in the community, and try to get as many school pictures as you can, group pictures and things, particularly the first generation that you taught there. But for the future, the other generations, too, would be very nice to have.
You're suggesting that maybe we should take those with some pictures with it to kind of jog her.
Well, you might take
certain students.
Might take them with her.
To put
with
her time frames.
But I would also suggest that you try to collect them too for your archives.
She is a sharp woman. I'll tell you why. And you don't have to put her in a time. My father died last year, October. But last August, when my dad was down, she was talking to my dad. And she knew my dad. And my dad said something to her about, do you remember why I quit school? Because he quit school in third grade. Mm-hmm. Here, this woman sent him out for a switch. My dad never went back.
Those are wonderful.
And she remembered it, you know. And,
yeah.
And she said to him, and my dad says, you know, and he says, I'm really sorry for it.
Yeah.
You know. But she remembered that incident. And my dad was 70. He was 72 when he died. Just turned 72.
And how old is she now?
But she taught him.
Yeah, she's got to be at least
90. My mother would be
About 90.
My mother would be 76. And she taught her. In fact, my mother had scars on her fingers. And I asked her where she got the scars from. Mm-hmm. And Ms. Hill had gone outside to get something. And the kids were bad then. And my mother was looking under the door to see when she was coming. And Miss Hill had stood on the side and pushed the door open and caught my mother's fingers.
You might want to also ask her how the building changed in the period of time that she taught there.
We have pictures of the building. And we have the pictures of the outhouse and the pictures of the wood storage place.
That's great. Oh, yeah, that's super. You might also ask about her relationship with the state as a teacher.
Did you teach there for long?
Did you have Indian school committee? Have you ever heard anybody talk about Indian school committee?
50
years. What seemed to happen in some of the other groups is the state would create its own Indian school committee with local members. They would decide who would attend the school. And all those kinds of things.
Well, the Rappahannocks, they attended our school, too, for a while.
They did. So you had never traveled
school. Well, for a while, I think their school burned down. Mm-hmm. Wasn't it? Didn't the Rappahannocks come over and school? Their school burned down, and they had some problems with it. So they came over to, they went to school for them.
And since you were illustrating how she disciplined the students, ask her about that. And then ask her how the families disciplined their children. Sounds like it. And look at the difference.
It would be interesting to ask her what she taught the children about their own heritage.
So mm-hmm. Or if she
and
went
how
just
she,
what the state
how she
found
out.
3 hours.
If she
did
teach them that, did she get the information? And it's possible if she did teach them heritage that she may have some papers or things that would be very valuable to you. Might lead into a whole new area for you.
What was really interesting when I was doing my dissertation, I interviewed a lot of the first Indian teachers. And I would ask them that very question, and they would say, no, we taught exactly what the state said to teach.
Yeah. So that was my experience with black schools in the South.
Mm-hmm. Even though they were Indians and knew their heritage, they taught exactly what the state standard said they should teach.
Say it's the right way, the wrong way, and the state way.
That's a state worker, too.
That's a state worker, too. I'm not going to tell.
26. Mm-hmm. How much? 26 years? Yeah.
What do you do?
Well, maintenance.
Yeah, a lot of us, like, for instance, Reggie, family, my family, we didn't go to school.
Well, we thought, you know, Judith.
I swear about the language that the students came to the hospital, whether she, whether there were.
I've been a state employee my 20th year now.
Is that right?
Oh, do you, yeah.
Possibly been a trace of the language still in the earliest.
And when in the middle of a snowstorm.
Hitchhiker.
That's the way to go.
They're
interested.
Oh, there's a lot of that. Which my grandmother, there was a guy from the University of Pennsylvania down, came down. Time my grandmother gave him a lot of night.
Do you know who it was?
No, he's a professor at the University of Pennsylvania. And I did, there was some, years ago, there was some documentation.
We had to be an hour at the University of Pennsylvania, like making.
Had the roads open.
I think it was.
Well, my mom would have seen that because she did all of his notes.
Because it's not always easy.
And then I gotta ask her what kind of influence the church has in school.
Loss, sleep.
Totally. The church and the school still is so interrelated, like, you know, members of the church, members of the tribe, vice versa, but there's some other members in the church, but they are really interrelated.
That's
grounds are right next door. I think that's what's really kept our people together.
Listen, it certainly is what kept the North Carolina Indians together, the churches and the schools. That's what gave them a sense of.
Homecomings, you know.
Having the churches are rather easy,
that's my opinion.
You need it.
I think this country would be in bad shape.
You know, the Upper Mattapony people are like, sort of like, two brothers. No two brothers can fight internally, like crazy, between themselves, right? But somebody else just doesn't jump in, you know, because there's a lot of rips in it, you know. I think in the older generations, more so than the younger ones.
You might also have an answer about attendance, because it's my understanding that in some of the small rural schools, that attendance is very seasonal, depending on what crop was coming in or this type of thing, you know, how well the children attended school.
You go to school?
No. Steve went to school.
And do you think she helped them get into high school after they left? Did she help arrange the kids to go to high school?
Very possibly might have given information, did she, Ron? You wouldn't know that. Did Mrs. Hill help them get, help the children go to high school? No. Do you know that, Ron?
The ones that went to Michigan and different
high
places?
Yeah.
I think she played a big role in that, if I remember correct.
Something we should ask her, yeah.
She may have had families.
They went to our own families.
Oh, they did.
Of course, I don't know what the early generation, maybe the early generations went there. And then she.
That would be interesting.
What was her role in the community, other than the school teacher, would be probably interesting.
I think Ray and I both got to get to Philadelphia. I was conceived here, I guess, was born in Philadelphia because of the school. Because my brother was of school age, and I guess you were pretty near, and our parents wanted better education, educational opportunities, besides the economic aspect. And I guess that's how his mother and mother were very close friends. I guess that's how they got there.
I went away when I was 10, to Pennsylvania to school. Maybe the office for the same reason.
Because I was born in his house. Or, no, he rented a house, I think, right?
Yeah.
I was born in the same house. You weren't born then.
I
was.
Yeah. Oh, no, you weren't down here.
Yeah, I was born down here. What was the last question?
I missed the whole school.
The role in the community.
We had a school, but didn't have a bus.
What part did you play other than the school?
My grandfather was in the upper
class. Did she socialize just with the Indians? Did she socialize with other folks?
Because he didn't like the school.
Did she live in the community, for example?
It sure is.
She
grew up with that education. But you see so many young people.
It's too bad because she might have a lot of information that she would have spent time with any of the older folks that are now long gone. See, she would drink
that. They go grow up one
probably back into the 1800s, because when she would have started off, there were the people from the Civil War here still alive.
The school didn't start, it opened about 22 or something. She wasn't there until about 1922.
Anyone have it right now.
At the last Civil War, that died in the early 60s. Anybody prior to that, you know, that can remember that they had some knowledge of. I remember meeting the Civil War.
Are you that old?
Yes.
Sean is older than he wants to be.
Terrible.
your age, I said, you don't want to keep telling me.
Younger than Thomas.
Renee's a little bigger.
What else is older than I? What else do you think?
Why don't you read them and so Helen hears, see if we can.
We're talking about her background, her childhood, where she went to school, what type of education she had, how she got there, who sent her there, how she helped him see, how she got involved with it, how involved she was, I guess, with it. You know, did she just come and teach at home? Mm-hmm. Did she get involved? Yeah. Was there an out-of-state connection? How was she treated by the non-Indians?
How was she treated by the Indians? How was she treated by the Indians?
What she taught, what she tried to teach. Would she have taught anything different? Anything different? Expounding on it. Teaching techniques. If she has any pictures or artifacts or anything like that. How the building had changed in the steps or any things in there. Where supplies came from, I threw that in. How was it, you know, how was it funded? Where did supplies come from? Did she have adequate? Was there the same as the others? Her relationship with the state, the county, who decided who would attend the school? What she taught about the Indian heritage, and where did she get the information that she taught? Whether any non-Indian words, perhaps, non-English words, or perhaps particular customs that she picked up that she wasn't familiar with in the non-Indian population. What influence the church played on the school, the attendance, was it seasonal, was it, you know, whatever. Did she help the kids get to high school or other education or whatever? And what other role she played in the community, and involvement in Indian or non-Indian social life, and did she socialize with the Indians?
Tell you one thing she did, though. Okay. She is an honorary member of her college. Go ahead. I think Kellen's an honorary member. And an honorary member is somebody that we vote in because they've done a lot for our people, you know. And Mrs. Hill was an honorary member. She says she didn't want to be an honorary member. She wanted to be listed as a member. She paid her $24 dues, and she pays them. But she's not allowed to vote or anything. But she pays her dues. She does not want to be an honorary member. She wants to be a member. So they put her, she's on the roll, but she can't vote at all. She said she probably has more right to be in than from out of Miami than put some people on her.
Ask about her school budget, how much it was.
I question how her attitude, she feels that way now, how did she feel 50 years ago?
Yeah.
She was really teaching.
That would be interesting.
You know, did she, it's great now.
Right.
But how did she feel?
Put that down in her budget, too.
You might also want to ask her if she knows about any burial sites.
Well, they wear this woman out. Yeah, that's her burial sites.
Well, you may have to do it a couple of times. Yeah. You know. Because of her health.
She's sharp. She's really sharp.
Yes. She is.
It was on the clock.
Right. Yeah. Right. Of course, you say your dad.
So she's
really
ill.
I mean, they
just asked about how they got resources from Richmond. And was there a particular state senator or representative that helped you? In our case, we had one man who really fought the battle for him. To get money for the schools and the colleges.
Well, I don't think we had one, to be honest with you.
But were there other citizens?
I say we didn't, but I can't.
Yeah, maybe other
citizens. Were there citizens? Jimmy Coates was one, and he helped with the school. And I've talked to a lady in Hampton who says that she also helped, and that's worth corroborating. Ask her if she remembers Ollie Mason.
Men and women relationship.
I don't know that they have changed.
I'll say it again.
Although a lot of the Indian culture and matrilineal descent is still happening.
Your ride is a leaving Reggie.
I get you a little bit of information.
One more question. There were at least two citizens who helped Mrs. Hill that I'm aware of. Jimmy Coates, of course, is one. Ask her if she remembers either of these. The other is Mrs. Olive Mason, Mrs. Red Mason. And I know she was involved with some of the school children, but whether it was through the school, she says she got them eye examinations in West Point. She used to live in Manquin and now lives in Hampton. She's my next door neighbor in Hampton. And I've talked to her several times about this. They were an Air Force couple.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, really. Yeah, that's right. Well, Mrs. Hill is still able to talk so coherently. She's a delight. I talked to her last time. Had the chance to give her a ride home.
I needed her too.
Oh, she is a dear.
They're having a Halloween party here, Ellen. What do you think I kept running out with? They look so cute, the little ones.
Is that what they're doing now?
That's rehearsing.
I took all of my stuff from Christine out west and gave it to
See if she's there, we'll go by, John.
There was a
very nice meeting you.
Did you say hi, Bob?
Oh, yeah, we know where it is. I was telling Ray on the way up. It was between Doyle and I forgot the name of the other group. I'll pick it up. It was right outside of there. That was the last of the Chickahominy reservations, and that's probably there were some other groups around the house, and there was a refuge area.
Malcolm is a good friend.
Helen, it's good to see you. Hope you
thank you.
See you later.
More on the Pamunkey River than would be possible. The Pamunkey River than the Mount Mac. But it's been an awful lot of Indian tariffs picked up in this area.
Yeah.
And as far as I know, it's still.
Yeah. It's been heavily occupied. But there was a fascinating refuge area up, anytime after 1646 in the upper Mattapan River.
I'm going to try to get permission from this guy.
I'm glad you've met you, Reggie. Best of luck with all that video. That's space age technology.
I'm learning. When I first got it the first couple of nights, my dog now, when she sees the case, she runs. She's, oh, God. Because I put her through her paces, you know, sit, Cleo, give me your paw, roll over, you know, and I make adjustments. So now, when she sees the camera, she goes, oh, no. She runs away. She doesn't want to see it anymore.
Well, nice seeing you.
Nice to see you.
Take care.
Yeah, you take care.
I'll see you.
Don't work you too hard now.
Oh, that'll be the day.
Yeah,
bye-bye.